Okay, today's scripture is from, as Ms. Pabone awesomely recited to us, from the book of John in your gospel, chapter 20, verses 19 to 31. So please do grab your pew Bible. It's on page 115, right toward the back. Please listen for God's word. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may have come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. Praise be to God.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Will you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for your word given to us through Scripture. As we worship today and study your word, I ask that you guide the words which I speak, that they may help to bring understanding to us here today. Amen. Journeys come in all shapes and sizes. I am reminded of a life-changing journey that I started on 6 months after I joined the Air Force. My commander called me into his office. It was a Tuesday in July. I remember this well. To tell me that I had orders to Iraq. Now, mind you, I was still trying to figure out the ways of the Air Force, trying to figure out how to wear the uniform, and who to salute, and how to do it. My commander is telling me that I'm headed to Iraq. He had given me a gift. The original orders had me leaving on Thursday, 2 days to prepare. He had managed to get the orders changed to Monday. I had 6 days to prepare, to get my life in order, to get my gear together, to get my training. We had a layover in Qatar on the Arabian Peninsula, waiting for the final flight into Iraq. And I was rooming with a nurse who had been to Iraq before. And she told me that this experience was going to be life-changing, that it would change my life forever, and that it would change me forever. I had faith in what she was telling me. She had been there, done that. But I didn't really believe what she was saying until I experienced it myself. I was stationed at a forward operating base, so we were receiving casualties direct from the battlefield. It turns out that she was right. I came away from that experience with a new appreciation of life and a stronger faith in God. But I had to experience it before I would take her word for it. Lent has been a journey of preparation. Preparation for us to witness the wonders and the grace of Christ's gift to us through his resurrection and his crucifixion. The resurrection of Easter morning was just the start of a journey of faith, not the end of that journey. The scripture before us today speaks to that next step of that journey. Diana gave us a good review of that scripture. It is evening in Jerusalem. The disciples have sequestered themselves in an upper room. The mobs are angry. They are fearful for their life. And it is the third day since Jesus was crucified. The disciples have had what is probably the most horrific week, the most horrific experience in their lives. It was just a week earlier that they had accompanied Jesus on a triumphant journey into Jerusalem. They had accompanied the man they felt to be the Messiah. Only then to witness the crowd of supporters turn into a lynch mob. Jesus had instructed them in ways which they did not understand. And their own had turned against them. As the heat was turned up on Jesus, the disciples panicked and denied even an association with Jesus. And they scattered. Only the disciple John stayed at the foot of the cross with Mary, witnessing up close the horrific execution of the man whom they had come to believe was God himself. Now, crucifixion in antiquity was not just something that happened to Christ. It was an unimaginably painful, humiliating, and dehumanizing form of execution that was reserved for the lowest of the lowest of the criminals. It is impossible to imagine what it must have been like for the disciples and the other followers of Jesus. Their beliefs are shattered as they witness the horror, the helplessness, the hopelessness, and the fear, knowing that they could be next if caught in the frenzy of the crowd. We can only speculate about what the disciples may have been thinking. If Jesus was divine, why was this happening? The broken, agonizing, dying body on the cross could not have been the image of God that they were expecting. Was their faith and trust in Jesus being betrayed? What were they to do next? They huddled together in fear behind locked doors, in Jerusalem, fearful and waiting. And then suddenly, mysteriously, miraculously, Jesus enters the room after hearing his voice and after seeing his wounds. The disciples recognize him, and their fear turns to rejoicing. But Thomas, one of the 11, is missing. When the disciples tell him of their encounter, "We have seen the Lord," Thomas replies, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hand and put my finger in the mark of the nails in my hand in his side, I will not believe." Now, Jesus must have heard him, because 1 week later, Jesus again appears to the disciples in the locked room. And Thomas, this time, is with them. Repeating Thomas's very words and reaching out to him, Jesus says to him, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." When Thomas acknowledges him as my Lord and my God, Jesus responds, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now, Thomas is usually the focus of this story. But in fact, it's really Jesus who is the true story lead, as he gives us direction for our own journey of faith. So what is Jesus telling us about this journey? Number one, it's okay to doubt. And secondly, it is doubt that builds our faith. First of all, doubt is okay. Thomas, doubting Thomas as we know him, gets the bad rap, as though he were the only one to experience doubt. And we are led to believe that doubt somehow is bad. With all that they had been through, the disciples undoubtedly had questions. Earlier that very day, Mary had told them, after returning from the empty tomb, "I have seen the Lord." But it wasn't until they saw Jesus and saw the wounds in his hands that they believed and their fear turned to joy. Their words to Thomas are the very same words that Mary told them, "We have seen the Lord." Thomas has the guts to ask the question that the others may have been too afraid to ask. To ask the question about his faith that we may also be afraid to ask. The passage is typically read as Christ scolding Thomas for doubting. Although the passage is often translated as "do not doubt, but believe," the word "doubt" actually does not occur in the original Greek manuscript. Rather, it translates as "do not be unbelieving, but believe." Jesus isn't scolding Thomas. He's reaching out to him Jesus reached out and opened his hands to Thomas. He opened himself to Thomas and invited Thomas to join him in a most intimate way, to touch his wounds, and to personally experience his pain. Jesus understood what Thomas needed in order to believe. He'd been listening and met Thomas where he was. Upon seeing Jesus, Thomas gets it, big time, responding, "My Lord and my God." Thomas took the risk and asked the question. Then Jesus was able to give him what he needed in order to believe and therefore grow his faith. Thomas experienced Jesus in a way that he never would have been able to experience him if he had not asked the question. Secondly, doubt is not the opposite of faith, as we often think. It's actually the springboard to growth in our faith. It is that exploration of our doubts, the willingness to ask questions, the hard questions that allow us to grow. As a psychiatrist, much of my job has to do with asking questions. And there are kind of two types of questions. There are the questions that are pretty easy to answer. Questions about history and my effort to get to know my patient. But then there are the other questions that are much harder. The questions that are meant to guide a person deeper into who they are, what they're feeling, why they do what they do. Those questions are more difficult to answer and may be painful to think about. But it's those difficult questions, the ones that make you dig deep, that have the most meaning and lead to growth. Our ability to doubt and to question is the foundational building block for our faith. And it was Thomas's ability to doubt and to question that led him to experience Jesus, to believe in him as God incarnate, to grow his faith. So how do we work through the muddlement of doubt? Seminary messes with your head. If you had any experience with seminary or are currently going through it, as some of us are, you know what I mean. Seminary has been very effective at shattering much of what I understood and believed. I recall my class on the Old Testament, Introduction to Old Testament, and finding myself confused and unsettled as much of what I had learned through childhood and much of what I believed to be biblical, I was suddenly questioning. Did these things really happen? And if they did, how? And it was distressing and unsettling. But those questions have led me on a journey of exploration of my belief. And yes, asking the questions appears and feels heretical. But it's asking those questions that helps me grow. If Thomas, who knew Jesus, could ask the questions, then so can I. What are the kinds of doubts that grow our faith? The doubts that hit home, that shatter the truths that we take for granted, the doubts that hurt the most and are the most alien to our accepted beliefs, the doubts that we want to cover up because they're painful. Those are the doubts that are going to help us grow. Seminary grows doubt. And it's not a bad thing. An assignment a while back brought this home to me. The assignment was to write a statement of faith. Easy enough, right? Wrong. As I contemplated putting pen to paper, I realized that I simply couldn't do it. I couldn't do it and be honest with myself. I had found myself questioning beliefs which I had held as sacred since childhood and feeling distressed by those questions. Had plenty of doubts, but no answers. Several weeks later, I was having supervision with Pastor Stephen. I have supervision with him every week. And at the close of this session, he asked me a simple question. Okay? How can I pray for you? Well, rule number one, when you ask a question, don't ask it if you don't have time for the answer. I told him about my angst and my doubts. And we talked about it. He took the time. He had the time. We talked about it, and that became a stepping stone, that conversation, a stepping stone in my journey of faith. The Bible is our roadmap for our journey. Pastor Stephen didn't have the answers, or if he had them, he wasn't telling them to me. But he was a guide. He is a guide for me on my journey. And he's helping me to read the map. So how do we work through the muddlement of doubt? Accept doubt. It's okay. Ask the questions that are in our hearts and follow the directions and connect with God through prayer. Priceless. This is the journey of faith. So as you leave here today, I challenge you, and I challenge myself to continue our Lenten pilgrimage, our journey of faith, during the days, the weeks, the months ahead. Let that journey grow in you. Let yourself sit in and live in that uncomfortable space of doubt. It's okay. I challenge you to ask the hard questions. We all have them. Like Thomas, asking the questions allows us to grow in our faith and our relationship with Christ. Jesus reached out to Thomas in his moment of doubt. Had Thomas not spoken his doubt, he never would have experienced Jesus in the intimate way that he did. continue the journey and build on that sacred space that you found during Lent. No matter how large or how small. And ask the questions. Ask the questions that will resolve your doubt. Oh God, we ask that you guide us and protect us as we continue on our journey of faith to know you more fully. A journey that started at the crucifixion and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, and continues as we go about our daily lives. In your most holy name, the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.